The Internal Revenue Service has rehired hundreds of former employees with records that include conduct problems, performance issues, and even back taxes owed. Greg Kutz is Assistant Inspector General for Audit, Management Services, and Exempt Organizations at the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. Greg, it's terrific to talk to you again. Thank you very much for coming on. Where did you start to do this report? What caused you to want to look into these issues? Thanks for coming on today.
I received a referral from our Office of Investigations on some of the potential practices that were happening here, and so we actually wanted to take a look into that to find if it was a systematic issue.
What were some of the conduct and performance issues that you found in the sample that you performed?
Well, let me say, first of all, that the vast majority of IRS employees do not have the kind of conduct and performance issues I'm going to discuss here in a moment. IRS has some of the best employees that I've dealt with in my career in the federal government. However, some of the areas of concern included 141 employees with prior tax issues, and in particular, five of them that had been rehired after it was determined that they had willfully not filed tax returns. And there's a bunch of other issues we found. For example, unauthorized access to taxpayer account information, which is a very serious matter, with identity theft, for example, being a risk of someone who's doing that, and other things like leave abuse, misuse of property, and unacceptable performance. Now, 78% of these individuals were seasonal or temporary employees. However, again, they do have access in many instances to taxpayer records, so it's important that we have integrity with those people also.
An interesting observation that I saw here, TIGTA found nearly 20% of the hired former employees sampled with prior substantiated or unresolved conduct or performance issues had new conduct or performance issues. In other words, about 20% of those people that were hired back were repeat offenders.
That's a very good point, we didn't compare that to the rest of the population, but in the short period of time, that is a very high percentage, and again, the recurring issues were tax noncompliance and unauthorized access to taxpayer information, so these are high-risk individuals in some cases.
I do note the 141 number sounds rather small compared to the 7,000 former employees, and you write in this report 78% were temporary or seasonal positions, and that's between 2010 and 2013. Is that an accurate contextual fact? Am I reading the number? Am I comparing the numbers appropriately?
That's correct. A little over 7,000 former employees were rehired, and about 11% or 824 had prior substantiated conduct or performance issues. The 141 you mentioned were specifically tax issues.
Tell me about the suitability standards that agencies as a whole are supposed to follow and whether any of those or any similar policies that exist just within the IRS apply here as well.
Yeah, these standards relate primarily to the applicant's character traits and conduct, and there's a determination of whether they're likely to be able to carry out their positions with integrity. And some of the factors that are considered in suitability include items such as criminal conduct, material false statements, refusal to furnish testimony, and illegal use of narcotics. Now, it's important to note that these factors, for purposes of suitability, can be mitigated with the passage of time between when the incident occurred and when they are coming back. So they may have had a pretty serious offense, but if enough time has occurred, it's not considered as significant of a factor for suitability purposes only.
Mm-hmm. And are those all standard OPM suitability issues, or does the IRS have any policies or procedures in place that are unique to it?
These are generally government-wide suitability.
Okay. The recommendations that you make include that the Chief Human Capital Officer at the IRS work with General Legal Services and OPM to figure out what part of the hiring process the IRS, it says here, can fully consider prior conduct and performance issues. Is that a major part of this issue, that they're not quite sure when in the timeline, the hiring timeline, that should happen?
Exactly. I think, if you did it at the very beginning of the hiring process when you have hundreds or thousands of candidates, that's perhaps not the right place to do it. Suitability isn't catching some of the issues we have concerns about, so perhaps in the final selection process, it would be useful for IRS to consider taking a look at their own system, because this information with the 824 substantiated conduct and performance issues, that came from IRS's own records. So we didn't come up with that. That was their records. So We're talking about doing something before suitability to make sure they're making a good business decision. So is it a good decision to hire someone who had a prior tax issue that was substantiated or a unauthorized access issue? And some of these employees were ones that had been proposed for termination, and they resigned before being terminated. You know, in the federal government, that happens often.
Mm-hmm. I guess the part of this that I'm most unclear on, Greg, is I spoke recently to the commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service, John Koskinen, and he talked about the idea of the people at the agency that don't pay their taxes, how that's a fireable offense, and people had been fired for that. And I guess what I was unclear on, even after reading your report, it's not something that you addressed directly, so I didn't expect to see it there. But it goes to this idea of the suitability issue, I believe, and that is, did you get any insight in doing this work into the fact that there may be reasons why it is okay to hire somebody back who could have, even if they weren't, fired for especially the non-payment of taxes, but any of these other conduct issues?
Well, we did look in the files of the cases that we had, and if we had seen a legitimate reason, we probably wouldn't have had an issue in some cases. However, other cases, there was actually one that had on it, do not rehire this person, and they still rehired it. So it wasn't clear whether they looked at the file and saw that and said, well, we're going to rehire them anyway, or if they just weren't aware of these prior instances that were going on. So I think what we would want them to do is to be aware of them and then on a case-by-case basis make a value judgment of to whether or not these issues rise to a level where beyond suitability the IRS wants to take a risk. I mean, nothing precludes hiring these people that pass suitability, but also nothing forces IRS to hire someone that has prior problems either.
And that was kind of one of my takeaways from your work, Greg, is just from a risk management perspective, it's not like these were, I'm sure these weren't the only folks that applied for these jobs. Why is TIGTIS concerned with the response to your recommendations, Greg? What was their response and why does that concern you?
Well, they had stated that they completely revamped the process in 2012, and they kind of think that they've already addressed this to a large extent. Yet we did find some of these instances that we looked at happened in 2012 and 2013 where they hired people back that were highly questionable. So, I mean, our view is, again, that this is not just a suitability issue, but a business decision as to whether you want to take the risk to bring someone back who's already been found to have improperly access other people's tax returns or, you know, had some serious tax issues. And, you know, we mentioned at the beginning of our discussion here that 20% of the ones we sampled had recurring problems. That seems to be a high rate, and it's something IRS should really consider earlier in the process, we believe.
I used the term risk management earlier. Is it, in your view, is this as simple as a risk management problem that requires a risk management type response? Is that what you were getting at in the recommendations that you made?
Exactly. I really think, and if you consider the value to criminals and others who might want access to IRS's databases and things, it is a risk management standpoint. Look at all of the identity theft and other problems we're having right now in the government and in the private sector. And certainly, IRS's data systems are some of the richest for someone that would want to get access to them in the world.